Today on Annenberg Radio News.
He gets the kids to trust in him. He tells them what they need to do and how they need to make it happen.
A Major League Baseball player returns to help players at his alma mater in South Los Angeles. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 6, 2010. I'm Megan McCarty. Today was an historic day in Los Angeles. Pope Benedict XVI announced the appointment of Mexican-born Archbishop Jose Gomez as the next head of the Los Angeles Archdiocese. Grant Tunkel was at the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels downtown for the announcement.
The eyes of the Catholic world were on Los Angeles today. Media from all over the country converged on the cathedral as Archbishop Jose Gomez was officially announced as the next head of the Los Angeles Archdiocese. He will become its first Hispanic leader.
It is one of the great Catholic communities in the world. Los Angeles, like no other city in the world, has the global face of the Catholic Church.
Gomez will succeed Cardinal Roger Mahoney, the longest tenured cardinal in the United States. Mahoney says he understands the importance of the announcement.
This is an epic moment in the life of the Church of the United States.
Gomez comes to Los Angeles after spending more than 5 years in San Antonio. The 58-year-old is a native of Mexico. He will officially take his post in 2011 when Mahoney turned 75 years old. Both men said the appointment reflects the church's commitment to its Hispanic members.
This is a recognition by our Holy Father that the Spanish-speaking Catholic community in the United States is the highest priority.
Gomez says he will continue to support the rights of immigrants and the poor. But he admitted that he needs to learn more about Los Angeles before he assumes the post in a year. Mahoney said he will spend the next few months helping the incoming Archbishop acclimate to L.A. Grant Tunkel, Annenberg Radio News.
The City Council met today to discuss a $73 million transfer from the Department of Water and Power to the General Public Fund. The City Council was hoping the DWP would bring good news to today's meeting, but as Brandon Marcus reports, today's meeting was less about progress and more about chaos.
Councilman Bill Rosendahl said it best when describing the situation at the City Council meeting.
So I feel like the Wild, Wild West right now.
Wild describes the game of chicken perfectly. The council was counting on excess money from the DWP that could be put into the city's general fund, but that was shut down pretty quickly by DWP interim general manager David Friedman.
We can't transfer money on the basis of having a surplus when we're running a deficit.
Friedman says rates need to increase in order for the DWP to have a surplus. However, Councilman Richard Alarcon says he doesn't buy it.
Transfer smanfer. You know, this the transfer is bogus.
Council members all agree the DWP has $73 million. City Council President Eric Garcetti.
Something fishy is going on here. You could come to us and say we can only do 43. I don't believe that. But at least that would be logical. But to say we can't do anything now because we're 30 less defies logic.
The truth of the matter is that we got nothing.
City Council unanimously passed a motion to order the DWP to go back and find the money. So it sure looks like this game of chicken will continue for at least one more week. Brandon Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
The squabbles between the City Council and the DWP caused Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa to call for drastic action today. Richie Duchon reports.
The mayor got word from the city controller this week that the city could run out of money within a month. The controller says the city needs to replenish its general fund and fast. So the mayor is calling for a partial shutdown of city government.
I am asking the CAO to develop a plan to shut down all general funded city services with the exception of public safety and revenue generating positions for 2 days per week beginning the week of April 12th.
Cal State LA political analyst Jaime Regalado says if the city does run out of money, it will mean IOUs to its creditors, an even lower bond rating, and a deeper hole to dig out of. Regalado says the move to shut down such a large part of L.A. city government is nearly unprecedented.
We've had ups and downs in the city budget before. We've had layoffs before. We've had pink slips. But in my memory, I'd never remember it being this bad.
The Department of City Planning and the Public Library were both caught off guard by the announcement. Spokespeople said their departments were still trying to gather information about what the mayor's announcement means and if they'll be closing their doors as early as next week. Richie Duchon, Annenberg Radio News.
Close to 100 parents and students rallied today outside the offices of the Los Angeles Unified School District, hoping to make sure the district will continue letting their children attend schools outside the school district. Shireen Parsivand has more.
Tracy Fairchild says she just found out a month ago that the district was changing its policy on permits and her daughter might have to leave MiraCosta High School in Manhattan Beach. Her daughter's home school is Gardena High School, which is considered failing under the No Child Left Behind Act. About 12,000 of LAUSD's more than 600,000 students now attend schools in other districts. LAUSD officials had estimated that under a recently adopted policy, about 80% would return to LAUSD. That would give the district another $51 million in state funds to help with its budget deficit. The district has put that policy on hold. Superintendent Ramon Cortinez now says that most students currently attending outside schools on permits will be able to continue. He also told the school board today that he would encourage new permits for families who want to take advantage of programs the district does not provide, such as schools that teach students to be fluent in two languages. Fairchild says parents would be willing to come back to Los Angeles Unified if the district makes changes to improve performance. Shireen Parsivand, Annenberg Radio News.
Efforts to fight homelessness in downtown Los Angeles received a major boost this afternoon. Ken Vandermeeren has more.
Bill Pickin, Senior Program Officer with the Conrad Hilton Foundation. Delilah Sultan.
Local government agencies, charities, and business leaders gathered at the Japanese American Museum in downtown Los Angeles. They announced a $5.2 million initiative aimed at kickstarting stalled housing projects in an area with an estimated 10,000 homeless people. Councilwoman Jan Perry commended the effort.
Your $5.2 million bridge, or I'd rather call it a survival fund, could not have come at a better time. I'm deeply, deeply grateful.
The Supportive Housing Recovery Initiative will provide affordable housing and support services to vulnerable and mentally ill adults. The aim is to help the chronically homeless live stable lives. The Conrad Hilton Foundation donated $4 million. Senior Program Officer Bill Pipkin says supportive housing is a cost-effective solution to homelessness.
Providing supportive services, so if they've got mental health issues or they have substance abuse issues or other health issues, they're getting those services because they will need those often to be stable and remain in that housing. It's much cheaper to do it that way, actually, than to have them on the streets and using the emergency room.
The donation is a short-term solution to fill the funding gap. Access to credit markets and the poor economy are blamed for project stalling. The director of Corporation for Supportive Housing, Ruth Keyes, explains why similar project Skid Row Housing Trust succeeded.
It's just luck. The Skid Row developers that were just lucky enough to have gotten some major projects in the ground and completed before lightning struck.
The initiative will provide a mix of grants, low-interest loans, and technical assistance to housing developers experiencing project delays. Ken Vandermeeren, Annenberg Radio News.
Tonight, expect clear skies with lows in the lower 50s. Tomorrow, sunny weather with a slight breeze and highs in the upper 70s. Tomorrow night, the low will again be in the 50s. And Thursday, sunshine and a high of around 80. Later on Annenberg Radio News, a closer look at the transition soon to come in the Los Angeles Archdiocese. Travian Johnson was born and raised in Crenshaw and attended and played baseball at Crenshaw High School. He was drafted by the Philadelphia Phillies last year. During the offseason, he helped the school's underdeveloped baseball team with practice. Asim Barwani has the story.
It's not every day that a person who's born and raised in Crenshaw becomes famous. It's even more rare when that person comes back to help out the place that made him famous. Travian Johnson is one of those people. He used to play baseball at Crenshaw High School not too long ago. He now plays pro ball with the Minnesota Twins minor league team. It's his off season, and he's back in his hometown helping out with the old high school's practices. But Johnson says the program isn't as it once was.
It's gotten a little worse. The facility, the field is not how it used to be. We used to groom it, and as far as lack of equipment, that's gone down as well.
The reason may be linked to Crenshaw's basketball and football teams. Both are extremely successful. Football won the city championship last year, pushing baseball out of any possible spotlight. But help has arrived through the school's new baseball coach, Art Burke. Or as his players call him, Coach Art.
Stick to Art and stick with the plan and have patience. It'll turn around real quick.
Art's been coaching baseball for 26 years. He understands that baseball is overshadowed at Crenshaw, but feels the main thing his baseball players really needed was a better coach. And that's why he's here.
I think what they need more discipline and more someone who really knows the game, who can come out here and see exactly what they're doing wrong and critique that and help them along.
Parents think Art is the perfect man for the job. One of them is Leonard Baker, father of LeJon Baker, one of the team's professional prospects.
He gets the kids to trust in him. He tells them what they need to do and how they need to make it happen.
Reggie, you got to hit him in the chest, son. Don't be afraid to throw it.
Leonard Baker thinks Travian Johnson is like another coach for the boys.
We need guys like that to come back. Remember, it don't have to be money. It can just be time. Coming back and sharing your experience with these, you know, with these kids, because if one of them make it, then he has the knowledge that you gave him, you know, from when you made it.
Johnson, or Trey as the players call him, works out with LeJon Baker every Saturday at the local batting cages, Baseball Central.
Trey is like a big brother to me when it comes to hitting and stuff, and the fundamentals teach me how to develop as a player and correct my attitude and stuff like that. So Trey, he's a good role model to kids.
Johnson also tries to help the kids with things outside of baseball. He tries to do as much as he can for them. Coach Art.
Oh, they love Trey. They love Trey. Trey's like their big brother. He's like a big brother to all of them.
But Johnson may not be able to play big brother as often as he wants to. He thinks the reason Crenshaw baseball isn't like it used to be may have nothing to do with the coaching or the field at all, but instead, because interest in the sport has gone down.
Kids within the inner city, they want to either play basketball, football, or become a rapper.
But Johnson wants to change their minds. He says baseball has opened up a lot of doors for athletes, especially black ones. That's why he's come back to help. That, and because he wants to mentor the young kids, like he was mentored at Crenshaw.
Like I said, I've been in their shoes. I've been in the same situation. I grew up without a father figure, and so we're on the same level.
Coach Art and the parents think Johnson's story can give the kids some hope. Okay. Hope that they too can be successful. Hope that they too can go on to better things and still come back to help, like Johnson has. Hope that they can stay away from what Johnson calls the bad side of the inner city. Asim Barwani, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors declared this week Public Health Week. This comes after the state of California released a report showing LA County had higher than average rates of death due to diabetes, heart disease, and illnesses preventable by vaccination. The county has the 13th highest death rate nationally from diabetes and the 11th highest death rate from fatal heart disease. The Department of Health and Human Services and the Center for Disease Control gave the county millions in grant money to improve public health. Today's big announcement that the Pope has named a new Archbishop of the Los Angeles Archdiocese has the Catholic world stirring. Jason Schwartz has more about how people are reacting.
As Bishop Jose Gomez gets set to take control of the largest diocese in the United States, religious groups and followers have begun to voice their opinions on what is being coined a once-in-a-generation appointment. Rocco Palmo is a former U.S. correspondent for London's Catholic Weekly, The Tablet. He wrote in his blog that the that the decision to bring in a Latino archbishop is proof that Latinos in the United States have increased their influence. He calls Gomez humble, reserved, theologically conservative, and spiritually fervent. Palma notes that Gomez will likely try to increase the role of priests and nuns, while his predecessor, Cardinal Roger Mahony, believed more in the heightened presence of everyday Catholics. One of the biggest hot-button issues in the church right now is how the Catholic hierarchy has handled charges of clergy sexual abuse. The Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, or SNAP, says it's disappointed by the Pope's decision.
We were hoping that we might see a real reformer, someone who really would be transparent and who would put victims first. But instead, we're just seeing someone else who goes along with the Vatican's strict system of compliance and cover-up.
On the issue of immigration, Gomez is expected to be a leading voice for immigration reform with the Catholic Church. He was recently elected chair of the Committee on Migrants and Refugee Services for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Jason Schwartz.
To talk about what this means for the direction of the Catholic Church in Los Angeles, I spoke earlier today with Professor Richard Florey. He's a senior research associate with USC's Center for Religion and Civic Culture. Well, first off, I just want to ask you, how relevant is the position of the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles to the city of Los Angeles?
Well, I think because of the large number of Catholics in the city and the historic nature of Catholicism in Los Angeles, it becomes a very important symbolic position for somebody to have. This archdiocese is the fourth largest Spanish-speaking archdiocese in the world. Just L.A. as a crossroads for people from all over, it ends up becoming a very important place.
In what you know about Archbishop Gomez, what kind of a bishop has he been, his record? What kind of things has he stood for?
From what I've been able to gather, he's from Texas, and he's been on the more conservative side of, or traditionalist, let's put it that way, side of things, as opposed to, say, the progressive side. I think also that another element in there is that on average, and there's always variation in this, on average, the Latino community is more conservative on issues of marriage and homosexuality and things like that. So he may well speak to where they are.
And there's been a lot of talk about his position on immigration. How significant do you think that is?
I think it can be very significant. I think that as a Latino man, I believe he's an immigrant from Mexico himself, I think that ends up being very important for the Latino community. I think beyond simply language, there would be that level of understanding would be much higher with him than it had been for Mahoney, just purely because of where he's from.
And what do you think it says about kind of the ascendancy of the power of Latinos in the Catholic Church in America?
In any organization, particularly religious organizations, it's important to have people in positions of power who actually look like the people in the pews and who actually understand their world and understand their lives. And clearly, Archbishop Gomez should know that. And he should have similar sorts of experiences to many, not all, but many of the people in the pews in Los Angeles.
That was Richard Florey with USC's Center for Religion and Civic Culture. Lucasfilm Animation is planning to produce a Star Wars sitcom. They announced the show is coming to TV as an animated comedy. The sitcom is still in development with Seth Green of Robot Chicken as part of the creative team. Now we check in with Lacey Ehrlich to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Lacey?
Thanks, Megan. Drilling began just under an hour ago to free dangerous gases from the coal mine that exploded yesterday in West Virginia. Tune in to hear tear-jerking reaction from one victim's family. Plus, we'll tell you how the city plans to save money, but by cutting city services. And a big name is coming to USC's Spring Fest this year. We'll tell you who it is. Tune in to ATVN tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision for these stories and more.
Thanks, Lacey. Today, the Board of Supervisors created a summer jobs program for teens in foster care or poor households. $11 million in federal funding will be used to provide jobs for poor teens aged 14 to 19 and 18 to 24 years old on welfare. The program will provide about 120 hours of work at minimum wage. That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Annenberg TV News, Ariel Pratt and Charisse Delgadillo. Karen Marcus is our producer. Timothy Beckworth and Richie Duchon are the executive producers. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Megan McCarty.